Hello, everyone. This is The Daily Occupation. My name's Anika. Let's get started.
For this episode, I'm going to focus on pediatrics, specifically for the NBCOT exam. I figured most of my beginning episodes for my podcast will be about the NBCOT exam. Since I just finished and took the NBCOT exam, it's fresh in my brain. And also, I think that this is something that can be helpful for those future OTRs and those CODAs out there. So when it comes to pediatrics, man, pediatrics is a huge and large area of OT practice, and it's been something that I have found interesting, but it's not something that comes as easily to me compared to adults or neuro, more specifically for adults, I mean. So when it comes to pediatrics, this is something that I definitely studied heavily on for the NBCOT exam since there is so much to know. So for this specific part of talking about pediatrics, I am going to focus on infant reflexes, protective reactions, and writing reflexes. So we will get started. So I'm going to have a document for you to view from on my website that you can use to follow along with this podcast. Otherwise, I would highly recommend looking at it after listening. It is a table that kind of just breaks down the different reflexes, and I just provide a little visual because I am a visual learner, and I like putting things in tables because I feel like it's a little bit easier to flow and scan through versus just reading a document. So we're going to get started. I'm going to organize them in the sense of how they, when their onset time is. So we're going to start with the earliest onset and go to the latest onset, and then we will go from there. So we're going to talk about infant reflexes, the ones that emerge before birth. So this is during gestation when they are still in utero. So important things about infant reflexes. They are observed within the first year, and they usually integrate within the first year of after the child has been born. They may reoccur after an injury to the brain, and usually then this will cause some sort of dysfunction in posture, alignment, etc. So these reflexes are really important, and they serve a purpose, but they also need to be integrated as well. So we'll start with the rooting reflex. The rooting reflex is the reflex where the child is going to turn towards stimulation in order to search and find for food. So this is really what's going to help facilitate breastfeeding or bottle feeding. So its onset is 28 weeks gestation. It integrates at about 3 months. To test, you're going to stroke the cheek, mouth, or lip of the baby. And like I said, they're going to move their head, tongue, or mouth toward that stimulation. Sometimes this is known as the searching reflex because they're trying to find that food to survive. This is a big reflex that helps with self-preservation and survival skills. Next, we have the suck-swallow reflex. This also has an onset of 28 weeks gestation. It integrates around 2 to 5 months, and this one goes in relation to the rooting reflex, but instead of searching for food, this is where the child is going to start and have that sucking reflex. So this is going to help them with eating food and ingestion for nourishment. So to test, you're going to place your finger inside the mouth, and the child is then going to respond with a strong rhythmical sucking. So to remember these two, I think of rooting is helping the child find and locate the food, whereas the suck-swallow reflex is going to help them actually eat and ingest the food. Okay, next we have the traction reflex. This is going to be an onset as well of 28 weeks gestation. It integrates around 2 to 5 months, and this is where you're going to pull the baby up by the forearms to pull to a sit. So they're lying down, and you pull them to a sit by the forearms. The response from the baby is going to be a bit of a head lag, and then they're going to flex their upper extremities to help kind of pull them and have a reflexive grasp. So this really helps enhance that reflexive grasp. It helps prepare them to maintain that voluntary control of grasping and leads into more use of their hands. The Moro reflex, that has an onset of 28 weeks gestation. It integrates at about 4 to 6 months. This is the reflex that really stuck out to me when I was learning because it's kind of that fight or flight response and the baby gets all scared and kind of cries. And I couldn't help but think it was a little funny because they're so cute when they do that. But you're going to rapidly drop the head backward. And so the response of the baby is going to be in two phases. The first phase, they're going to extend and abduct or abduct their arms because they're scared. They're like, whoa, what's going on? And then in phase two, they're going to flex and adduct their arms, kind of a self-soothing, and usually cry. And so this is a really important reflex because it helps, like I said, with that fight or flight response. So this reflex is triggered with sudden loss of movement or support, and the baby then feels like they need to protect themselves. So they go into that quick extension of their upper arms, and then they quick bring those in close to their body. Okay? Plantar grasp reflex. This one is also 28 weeks gestation. It integrates at 9 months. And to test, we're going to apply pressure with our thumb on the sole or the ball of the baby's foot. The response is going to be that their toes are going to curl in flexion. And this is going to be important for getting that tactile input into the foot. So this tactile input is going to help prepare that baby to position their feet so then they can eventually get on to stand, walk, run, and everything in the future. If this reflex is not integrated, the child may have extreme hypersensitivity to the feet, which could then also cause an experience in gravitational insecurity. So it's really important that they get that tactile input into their feet and that they have this kind of reflex of their toes flexing with that input. The Gallant reflex. So this is onset a little later now, 32 weeks gestation. It integrates 2 months. And so with this one is working on that lateral trunk flexion. So what we're going to do is we're going to hold the baby in prone suspension, stroke one side of the spine from neck to bottom, and then the response is going to be that the baby is going to laterally flex the trunk on the stimulated side. So if I stroke the right side of the spine, the baby is going to laterally flex the trunk to the right. So this is super important in facilitating lateral trunk movement, trunk stabilization, and eventually does come into play with the crawling because it helps with some of that trunk movement. Okay. Moving on, we have the palmar grasp. The palmar grasp is has an onset of 37 weeks gestation. It integrates at 4 to 6 months. To test, we're going to place our finger in the palm of the baby's hand and apply some pressure. They're going to respond by reflexively grasping with their fingers and flexing their fingers. I love this reflex. It's so cute. The baby's always wanting to hold on to your finger, but it's actually a reflex. So this is helpful in helping them increase that tactile input into their hands and helps assist with that reflexive grasp. So if this reflex isn't integrated, they'll have poor fine motor coordination skills, poor motor development with grasp and release, and hand manipulation skills. Think about if this reflex stays. Anytime something touches their palm, their fingers are going to flex. It's going to be very difficult for them to release an item once they've grasped it, right? So that's why this is really important for this reflex to integrate. But it's also very important in the role that it plays of being present for those 4 to 6 months to help them with getting that tactile input. So now we have the asymmetrical tonic neck reflex, or the ATNR. I love this reflex because you learn a lot about it in school, or at least I did, because it plays such an important role in so many kids that have some delay in hand-eye coordination, which I saw in my pediatric rotation. So the onset is 37 weeks gestation. It integrates 4 to 6 months. So we're going to test them with them positioned in supine. We're going to rotate the head to one side and we're going to hold it for about 5 seconds. So while we're holding the head to that one side, the response is going to be that they're going to extend the arm on the face side, and then the side on the skull, that arm is going to flex. So it also is known as the fencing pose because it looks like they're fencing. I love it. It's so cute. I just imagine them with a little fencing outfit. So this is really important, like I said, to a precursor to hand and hand-eye movement or eye-hand coordination. So if this is not integrated, there can be a lot of limitations. If ATR is present, it's going to be very hard to cross midline. They're going to have poor hand-eye coordination, like I said, because they're going to have difficulty bringing their hands or arms to midline. They're going to have poor visual tracking and eye pursuit. So therefore, they'll have poor reading and comprehension. So imagine reading, and once you get to the middle of the page, your eye is going to jump. You're not going to be able to get all the way over because crossing midline is difficult. This also will impact poor handwriting. When you're writing, you're going to be moving your head with your arm. If your arm or if your head moves when you're writing, like we do, you'll notice that it moves slightly to follow the pencil. If you move your head, then that's going to impact your upper body, and that will definitely impact your handwriting skills. So then next, there's the tonic labyrinthine reflex, or the TLR. This one's onset is also 37 weeks gestation. It integrates at 6 months, and there's two parts for this test. The first position is going to have the baby in prone, or known as TLR prone. The baby is then going to respond with flexor tone. So prone, flexor tone. With the second position, the baby will be placed in supine, and their response will then be extensor tone. So when they're lying on their tummy, they are in extension. So this is important because it aids in mastering that head and neck control. And it gives the baby the chance to work on some balance, muscle tone, and then proprioception, kind of knowing where they are in space. So if this reflex does not integrate, they would have difficulty with sitting up or getting from lying down to sitting as well. So think about this. If they're in prone, they have increased flexor tone. If you have increased flexor tone, it will make it very difficult for you to extend your head, correct? So then if you're in supine, it'll have that increase in extensor tone. So it'd be really hard to flex the head to sit up. If you are lying down and you're on your back, that'd be pretty difficult to flex your head. If you can't flex your head to sit up, and your arms are an extension, that would be very difficult to try and get up in that seated position. So normally, this baby, if they still have that TLR that's not integrated, they will have poor posture, and they would have really difficulty with moving after being laying down, either in prone or supine, because they won't be able to move their head to allow them to get the movement to then sit up or to then see their surroundings while they're in prone, because their head will be in flexion. Okay, so that is all of the reflexes that emerge before birth. These next reflexes that we're going to talk about emerge from birth to about 6 months. So it's after they've been born, these reflexes emerge, okay? So we'll start with the symmetrical tonic neck reflex, or the STNR. This one has an onset of 4 to 6 months. It integrates at 8 to 12 months. And there's two portions of this as well. There's a first position where you place the baby in crawling and then you flex the head. If you flex the head, the arms are going to flex and the legs are going to extend. Now, if the baby is now in crawling and you extend the head, the arms are going to extend and the legs are going to flex. It's important to remember that the upper body and the lower body are opposite. So when the upper extremities flex, the lower extremities extend. And I like to remember that the arms do the same position that the head does. So when the head flexes, the arms flex. When the arms are extended, it's because the head was extended. So just try and remember that. And then obviously the legs do the opposite. Okay. So this is very important for a precursor to crawling and facilitating that static quadruped position. Gets them ready to be on those all fours, okay? So if this reflex is not integrated, it's going to have difficulty with getting up to sitting as well, like the TLR, but it's going to be for different reasons, okay? So with supine, the hip and legs are extended when the head flexes. Okay, that'd be really hard to sit up. That would really resist the movements if your legs are going to extend. Now, if you're in prone and you're going to try and get up, that's going to be pretty difficult too, because your arms are going to extend when your head extends. So there's going to be poor muscle tone and posture. The legs are going to extend once the child flexes their arms, which is going to cause them to slouch. Think of them sitting in a chair. So if you're going to have them sitting at a chair in the classroom and they don't have this reflex has not integrated yet, if they're going to try and be moving their arms and flexing their arms to work on something, their legs are going to extend. So they're going to slouch down in their chair. Now, and then if someone's like, oh, work on your posture, get those legs bent, they're going to bend their legs, and that's going to then cause them to have their upper extremities extend. So then they're going to lean over their desk with extended upper extremities, looking like they're going to want to take a nap. But that's where we come in as occupational therapists and can help educate that this child isn't just trying to be, you know, isn't just misbehaving or not paying attention. They're truly having difficulty maintaining this position. So to compare the TLR versus the STNR, they both make sitting difficult, but the mechanism is difficult. With TLR, it's difficulty with flexing the neck to sit up, so it's at the neck, whereas with STNR, it's the leg extension that's resisting the movement, so it's the legs that's making it difficulties to sit up. And the STNR is also known as the crawling reflex because, like I mentioned, it helps it's a precursor to crawling because it helps facilitate a static quadruped position. So next, we've got the Landau reflex. I like this one too. This one is an onset of 3 to 4 months, and it integrates at 12 to 24 months, okay? So to test, you're going to hold the baby horizontally in the air in prone suspension. The response is going to be extension of the head, trunk, and extremities. So this really helps break up that flexor tone that they're having and really facilitates that prone extension. This is also known as the Superman pose because they look like they're Superman. They're flying with their cape in the air because they're all extended while they're in prone suspension. I really like this one because I think of little Superman babies all flying through. And so that one, I think, is a little bit easier to remember. I think of Superman Landauing or landing from his flight, from saving the world once again. Okay. So then we have writing reactions. So writing reactions are going to help us resume a position, maintain alignment of the head and trunk. They're going to help the baby reach those important milestones. So without writing reactions, it's going to be really hard for us to change positions. That's why it's great that they are there for the babies. And some of them integrate and some of them don't, okay? So we'll start with the ones that emerge and then integrate first, okay? So we have neck writing acting on body or just neck writing. This one's onset is 4 to 6 months. It integrates at 5 years. So we're going to test by placing the baby in supine, and we're going to rotate the head to one side. So the baby then will follow with log rolling. Now remember, log rolling is non-segmental. I think of like an actual log. The log is not going to be broken up. The hips and the shoulders are all going to move together at once. So they're going to move toward the direction that the head was turned. So if we rotate the head to the left, they're going to log roll to the left. So this facilitates rolling, helps them maintain their alignment of their head and body between that supine to side-lying transition. Then we have body writing acting on body, or just body writing. This is the same onset and integration of an onset of 4 to 6 months and integration of 5 years. We're going to have the baby in supine as well, except instead of rotating the head, we're going to flex one hip and knee toward the chest and then rotate to one side. So the response is going to be that they're going to segmentally roll the trunk and spine to maintain their body alignment. So segmental rolling is like just what it says. segment, they're moving their body in segments, that which facilitates trunk and spinal rotation. So their hips are going to move, they're going to kind of twist their trunk, and then their shoulders will follow after. So this is going to help, just like with the neck righting, the same importance of facilitating rolling, maintaining alignment of the head and body between that supine to side-lying transition. So body righting, you use the body, or you're flexing the hip and rotating that, whereas neck righting, you're going to rotate the head or the neck to get that response. So next, we've got some righting reactions that come and then they stay. They stay with us throughout life. And these are things that we can have to help us when it comes to changing positions. Okay. So we have optical head righting. So this onset is about birth to 2 months, and then it stays with us. So to test, we're going to hold the baby suspended vertically and then tilt them off center, side to side, front to back, back to front. Okay. We're going to have a response of an upright position of the head. They're going to be able to keep their head in line with their body, okay? Or not in line with their body, but they're going to keep their head aligned in space. Sorry about that. So the baby is going to be using their vision to help them maintain this position. This is why it's optical head righting, okay? Optical. So this is going to be helping with orienting that head in space, okay? And then there's the labyrinthine righting, which is onset of birth to 2 months and also persists on. This one, we're going to do the exact same thing to test by holding the baby suspended and then tilt them off center. However, we're going to have their eyes covered. So instead of testing their visual system on maintaining upright posture and the head position, we're going to be testing their vestibular system. So we're looking at the inner ear, okay? So the same response of an upright position of the head, and they're orienting their head in space. And this is also important, just like the optical head righting, for orienting their head in space. So just remember, optical is visual, labyrinthine is vestibular. Those are the different systems at play when we're looking at those reflexes. Okay, on to protective reactions. So, protective reactions are a second line of defense against falling, okay? And we'll go back into what the first line of defense is in a second. But first, we're going to talk about the four protective reactions. They're all called parachute, but there's the different directions that they go. So we have the downward parachute. That is an onset of 4 months, and these stay with us throughout life. So onset 4 months, we're going to test by lowering the baby toward the surface while suspended vertically. And what they're going to do is they're going to anticipate the floor coming to them. And so they're going to extend their lower extremities. This is an extent protective defense against a fall or accurate placement of the feet. So this is going to just have them try and prepare their legs for coming into that, touching the surface of the ground when being lowered. Forward parachute. This one has an onset of 6 to 9 months. We're going to test by tipping the baby forward while they're vertically suspended. And what's going to happen is they're going to rapidly have their upper extremities extend with their hands open to catch themselves. So this is important, again, to protect them from bracing themselves against a fall. And they're supporting their body, if needed, with their upper extremities. We have the sideward parachute. This has an onset of 7 months. And what they're going to be doing is the baby's going to be in a seated position, and we're just going to tip the baby off balance to one side. They're going to respond with one arm to extend and abduct to hold them. So if we are going to tilt them or kind of get them off balance to the right, their right arm is going to extend out and catch them on the ground to keep them from continuing to fall. Then we've got the backward parachute. This is an onset of 9 to 10 months. We're going to test by having the baby in a seated position, but instead of tilting them off balance to the side, we're tilting them off balance backwards. So there, what they're going to do is they're going to either extend both arms backward to catch themselves, or they're going to extend one arm to the side with a spinal rotation to catch themselves. So overall, protective reactions are our protective defense against a fall. Now remember that all of the protective responses are going to result in arm extension, except for the downward parachute, which is the leg extension. Okay. All right, we're almost done. The equilibrium reactions is what is our first line of defense against falling. These are what help maintain our balance and postural alignment, whereas the postural reactions, like I said earlier, are our second line of defense. They have protective extension of the arms and hands if a fall has already begun. So, equilibrium reactions, they all have the same response and the same importance, and they all will have very similar testing setups. So there are four of them. We have prone tilting. As you would think, the baby's going to be in prone on a tilt board. And what you're going to do is you're going to raise one side of the surface to kind of get them off balance. Okay. This onset is at 5 months. For supine tilting, you're positioning them in supine on a tilt board, and you're raising the one side of the surface to get them off balance. This one is 7 to 8 months onset. Quadruped tilting is positioning the baby on all fours on the tilt board in a quadruped position and raising one side of the surface to get them off balance. And this one's onset is 9 to 12 months. And then lastly, standing tilting. You're going to have the baby in standing on a tilt board and raise the one side of the surface to get them off balance. And this is 12 to 21 months is the onset. So the response to all of these is going to be that the spine will curve on the raised side. Both arm and legs are going to extend and abduct to try and keep their balance. So these are important in maintaining our equilibrium without our arm support. And it's our ability to make those postural adjustments as we're moving in space. Okay. I hope that this was a little bit helpful. I would definitely look at some other resources to help with that repetition of having learning this information from different sources and having different slight definitions to be able to have more generalization of that learning. But hopefully this was helpful in just a quick brief summary of the important things to know about these reflexes to help you. I wouldn't memorize every little detail associated with these reflexes, but I would know when they are going to be occurring. So we know that the ATNR is going to be present until 4 to 6 months. That's good to know, because what if there's a question that asks that? It's nice to know the timeline, and it's nice to know the overall importance as to why they're there and what they do to help aid in functioning and development for the child. Okay. Awesome. I have two documents on my website. One is a table with the timeline to show when they are present for each reflex and reaction. And then I have another document that is just on the reflexes that gives a table of their description, a picture, their onset integration, and their overall importance. Okay, so if you could check out that, that'd be great. Just to remember that I have a Facebook page. If you just look up The Daily Occupation, you will find it. I want that to be able to be an area where we can all create discussions and ask questions. Also, you can find my website, thedailyoccupation.wixsite.com/podcast/about. And on there, I have more resources for you if you choose to use them. All right. I'm Anika. This is The Daily Occupation. Thank you.